starting the recording. He knows better than anybody. So if you can recognize that the expectation I have is not realistic, but I don't know what is realistic, ask him. So instead of setting the goal of making sure he brings home his homework every night, maybe the first step is to set the goal of working with him to figure out what you both agree is a reasonable expectation. Is that fair?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Is that good for now?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Who else?
Liz here.
Yes, Liz.
I just think in this time that we're going through, this is interesting listening to this thing about expectations, because I've really struggled with that. I think my 18-year-old is 18 going on 13 in some areas of her life.
Mm-hmm.
He developed, you know, around about 15, so I understand what people were saying last time about the development and coming into teenagehood. So for her, it was later, and the ADHD got worse later. So we weren't really, like, I feel like I'm kind of way back on a whole lot of stuff I should have learned, because before the hormones kicked in, it wasn't too bad, but it seems like it's got really bad. So
uh-huh.
I'm just kind of grasping every little tidbit that's going past, and it's just awesome. But I'm thinking, taking aim is going to be about my reaction to her, because I get frustrated with myself when I don't have a way of supporting her, or I don't understand what she needs. So then I'm the one that gets frustrated, and we've talked about this before, about my frustration will be shutting likely to shut her down. So I've been working on that. But I think I want to continue on just really showing a lot of empathy with what's going on at the moment, and just to check out where her head and heart is before putting a whole lot of demands on her.
Uh-huh.
So there's two parts of that, in that I check in with her. But then if she's not feeling up to it, or she doesn't feel like doing it, or she doesn't want to do it because it's a chore, then it just won't get done. And then
so
I'm back.
So what you're saying is that you want to take aim on managing your reactions. You said when you don't know what she needs?
Yeah.
Or is it just managing your reactions when it doesn't go the way you want it to go?
No, it's about, you know, she's going through this hard time, and she'll start talking about it. And I will feel like, I want to help you, but I don't know how to help you. Do I take you to the doctor? Do I do this? Do I do that? Do, you know, all the stuff's going on in my head. And she's saying, I don't know. So it's like both of us don't know.
Okay.
And
so
I
it's managing your reaction.
I don't have an answer.
When you don't know how to help or how to best respond to her needs.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And I can, just so you know, I can totally relate, because I've just gotten back from several days with my 21-year-old who has been fighting months and months and months of illness, and it's very hard to know when is it sick, and when is it ADD, and when is it teenage.
Yeah.
When, you know, like, it's really hard to tell.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Okay. So is that good, managing your reactions when you don't know how to help or how to best respond to her needs?
Yeah, there's that, but there's also me being empathetic with her, with what's going on in our family. So it's not like just coming and saying, right, get up. Being empathetic with her, being, like, listening to her, like, just not charging in and saying, like, this needs to be done, that needs to be done, but actually, like, checking out where she's at and how she's feeling and stuff like that, which I have a tendency to do, like get task orientated, because a whole heap of tasks haven't been done. But to forget all that,
so let me stop you for a minute, because they're related. but they are different. So are you? Do you want to focus on sort of increasing your empathy, or do you want to focus on managing your reactions? Where do you feel like the source is?
That's what I'm saying. There's two. Well, okay, I don't understand how they're related, probably. But there's two things. So you're saying I should only focus on one thing.
Well, I'm just, for the purpose of taking aim, if you take aim on too many things at once, it's distracting.
Okay, so if I, so if I do the empathy, because then if I have empathy, I can sit there listening and hearing her and just trying to be in that calm place, focused on her and not focused on me, thinking I can't fix this. But
right.
I don't have to
right.
fix it. I have to listen to her because I'm being empathetic.
Great. Okay, so you want to work on
Thank
improving
you.
Your empathy given all the things that are going on in the family.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Great. So even though you also want to work on your reactivity, I just want to sort of take this as a teachable moment for everybody. It's not, you got to start somewhere. And what you got to was that the source is, if I can be there and listen to her, that will help. That will also address the reactivity issue.
Hopefully, yes.
I think I think you will.
Yeah,
that's what I'm working on. I can relate. Miss Carolyn.
Hey, Carol. Okay.
Is it okay to put in an editorial?
Perfect.
Yes.
So that created clarity for you as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Great.
Thanks.
So, and there's just a little moment. There's a topic, we'll cover it later in the year, but it's called, when we talk about levels of listening, there's a concept in listening skills that's about level one listening and level two listening, and we'll talk and level three, and we'll talk more about it. But level one is when you're listening, but you're only thinking about yourself. And level two is when you're listening, but you're really over there. You're only thinking about that other person. And this level of empathy that you're both talking about is about the ability to go over there and be present to them and not have your own internal chatter, right?
Yeah.
So that's great. Okay. Who else? Because we're running a little late on taking aim, and it's fine. I do want to bottom line it. Cheryl, where are you? Do you have an idea?
Not really.
Do you want to figure out how to respond to what happened last night?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
And then there's the piece of the homework. I don't know if that's part of it, because she's usually pretty good, but lately she's been not really doing or doing it really late or first thing in the morning at the last minute.
Mm-hmm. So which of those do you want to focus on, how to respond to last night or her doing homework at the last minute?
Probably the last night.
Okay, great. Okay, I feel like I missed somebody. I got Shelley, Liz, Tatiana.
Yeah, I haven't done yet.
Okay.
So taking aim, I feel like we've made progress for big things. Like, for instance, in the past, it was an issue selecting clothes in the morning for school. So we got over that, and then all the stuff with nutrition and routine, that kind of thing. But the issue that remains is for small things. So, you know, I don't want to get obsessed about small things, but at the same time, I still want to address them. For instance, with the clothes. So we do pick clothes for the week on Sunday night so that we're not scrambling in the morning to choose what to wear.
Wait, you pick clothes for the whole week on Sunday night?
Well, he's the only half of the week, so it's only 2 or 3 days.
Okay, all right.
And then, okay, so let's say it's Monday morning, for instance. And,
so I'm going to bottom line you for a minute. What are you taking aim on?
So when he is putting the clothes on that he has already chosen, he still gets distracted, like in between putting the pants on, in between putting the socks on, you know, in between putting the shoes on. So, you know, again, I don't want to be too picky about it, but at the same time, I'm like, well, it is still adding to the time it takes for him to get ready.
But I'm not clear what you want to take aim on. Do you want him to stop being distracted while he's getting dressed?
Yes.
Okay. Is that a reason? How old is he?
He's 8.
Okay. So, and he's going on what? 8 going on?
9. What
developmentally he is, but chronologically he is. But developmentally,
okay.
What do you think?
Okay, yeah, 3 to 5 years prior, you mean.
So 8 going on, what do you think?
probably 5.
Okay, is it reasonable for a 5-year-old boy with ADD not to get distracted while getting dressed in the morning?
No. No, okay. And that's why I was hesitating to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So if that's not a reasonable expectation, what change would help the mornings? So what is it that you want to see? Is it about getting out of the door on time? Is it, like, what's the frustration? Is it having to remind him? Is it that you're running late? Is it, like, what's the change you want to see?
No, we're not running late. I mean, bottom line, we still get out of the house by the time I want him to get out of the house. And, you know,
okay.
We make it.
So what's the change you want to see?
That he's able to independently recognize that he has a task at hand.
You want him to stay on task?
Yes.
Okay. And is it specific to dressing?
Yes.
Okay. So let's try it. Let's see what happens. So can we say stay more on task?
Yeah. Yeah, that's reasonable.
While getting dressed, can we go for improvement rather than perfection?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right. Okay, so did we get everybody? I think we did. Okay. So today our topic for today is shifting expectations. And we have been practicing that in every single one of these conversations we've had about taking aim. If you think about it, with almost every, I think it may be every one of you, but certainly almost everyone, I asked you the question, what's their developmental age, and is it a reasonable expectation, right? And so shifting expectations is about really giving ourselves the opportunity to ask that question and to look at who our kids are, not where we think they should be or where we even want them to be. So it's not about lowering the bar and saying, well, they just can't, but it's about saying, okay, here's where they are right now at this time, at this stage of development, and that's key, this stage of development. And the goal is, like, so what we just said with Tatiana, the goal is to get it, is to make it better. It may not be perfect. It's not about having him become an efficient dresser necessarily, but if we can improve his ability to stay on task, that would be better, right? That's a reasonable expectation. And with every one of these stories today, it's been if you can improve something, so a couple of you is improving empathy. You know, with Kobe, it's getting more organized with his notebooks so he can identify his missing assignments. But we started by looking at the expectation and saying, is it reasonable to expect that he's going to be able to do it all on his own? Well, no. If that's not the case, then what will it take? And if we don't know, then how do we find that out? So Diane and I often talk about this as shifting expectations or sometimes setting realistic expectations. So first we ask, is it reasonable? And then we look for, if it's not, then what is a fair and realistic expectation based on where that child is? So even though we spent a lot of time taking aim, but what we were really doing in every one of those conversations was shifting expectations. So I'm going to stop there and say sort of what comes up, because you've each had a little opportunity to be coached around this topic. So what are you noticing? Comments, questions, what's coming up?
It's Liz here. I get the first bit of what you're saying. It's like, what is their developmental age? Where are they at? Then what is the next step? But I'm not quite sure about how to figure out if we don't know what that next step is.
If you don't know what?
If we don't know what that next step is.
I'm not understanding that, Ross.
Okay.
Say it again, I'm sorry.
You were saying that you look at where the kids are, then you look at what, as opposed to where we think they are, then you look at the next step. What would be the next step? And we're not looking for something that's perfect, but it's an improvement. Mm-hmm. And then you said something about, and if you don't know, then we have to find out.
Right.
Something
and,
like that. And I'm thinking,
right,
that's
and,
where I get stuck.
And okay, and so one of the things that I said, where do you guys think is, if you don't know, where's the best first place to start?
Oh, right, talking to them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, 'cause they tell you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tell you every time. And, you know, the work, there's a psychologist out of Harvard whom we love, a guy named Jerome Schultz, and he wrote the book on ADHD and anxiety, and he's just done a lot of great work. And what he talks about is if we tell our kids, I believe in you, I know you can do it, sometimes that can be really powerful, but sometimes it can almost be disabling to them, because if they don't believe they can, then we're just reinforcing
yeah.
that negative belief. But if we ask them and say, okay, I know this is really hard for you. Let's talk about it. Let's see what is reasonable to expect. Because maybe it's not reasonable to expect for you to do everything in your planner and bring home all your homework assignments and all of your work every day. Maybe you need some support in parts of it. What part of it, let's break it down, see the steps, and what part do you think you can do?
Right.
When we, and that's
yes,
a great
you.
Way to get curious and collect information, because they know a lot more than we give them credit for. Any other, I mean, does anybody else have that? Have you noticed that in other places? Can anybody think of a time when you have not really known what to do, and so you went to your child and asked them? Okay.
I did that yesterday, and she. Oh, sorry. Carry on.
No, go ahead.
Liz first, and then I think it's Carolyn.
Oh, I want to listen to what Liz has to say.
Yeah, Liz, go ahead, and then Carolyn.
Oh, I did that yesterday, and she said, "All I want to do is sleep."
Mm.
But I think is that maybe her. Reacting to the sad news, or is it her fatigue with the glandular fever, or is it I don't want to face the world, it's all too hard, which is what she's also saying. So that's where, yeah.
All of which is probably true for her right now.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
She answered you. Clearly.
Yeah.
Right. So the question is for you, is like, how do you be with her answer, and how do you sort of invite her to take a next step when appropriate? And that's really what you wanted to talk about today, was right? Was how
yes.
do I have empathy for her? For the, I mean, she's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
She's been really, really
yeah.
sick. She's been out of school her senior year. Her dad was just diagnosed with cancer. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, no wonder she's depressed.
Yeah.
You know, so can't
yeah.
so for that, to be able to acknowledge her experience and say, yeah, I get that you want to sleep. It is, it's got to be really hard right now.
Yeah.
And just to, and then, you know, at some point later, you can go back and say, I know you want to sleep, and this also has to get done, if that's the issue. When do you think you'd like to do it, or how would you like me to help you get it done?
Yeah.
But that acknowledgement is critical.
Yeah, thanks.
Carolyn, what were you going to say, or what would you add?
Well, listening to Liz is helping me come up with a specific example. You know, I think I shared last time that my son has been experimenting with marijuana. And so we've had some good conversations. And he's saying, okay, I get that this is not the best choice for me right now. But he's also saying it really helps with my anxiety, and it really helps me with, he's saying it also helps him with focus. I'm not convinced about that part. But, you know, we're in conversation. It's like, okay, well, what are some other alternatives to finding that kind of a physical high or even emotional high? And you know, for him, one of the things has been, he's been going to a martial arts class, and in the last couple of weeks, all of a sudden, it's like, I don't want to go. So, you know, how do you balance, like, listening to what he's saying is that he doesn't want to go, and also there's been times when he said, you know, well, I told you I didn't want to go, but coming home from class, it's like, wow, I feel great, and thanks for making me go.
Right.
So how do you listen to them, what they say that they want to do, and you're working on a bigger picture thing? And
so there's an answer to that, actually.
Okay.
And the answer is that you acknowledge their experience first. That's where this empathy comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that you don't feel like it, and I know that sometimes I'm really into exercising, and then all of a sudden I just don't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I get how that feels. And I do remember that, you know, that it makes you, so you use your own example. I do know that when I do get back into exercising, I feel so much better. Or I do remember that, you know, that time that I made you go and you thanked me on the way home, I know that it makes you feel better. So can we talk about it?
Okay.
So start by acknowledging he's ADD. We get bored with things that we love. We get bored with systems that we use. And we just stop doing it, even if it's something we like or it's good for us sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
so, you know, the other thing is to say, well, you know, if this traditional methods that we're using, like exercise to manage the anxiety, if that's not something you want to do right now, do you want to talk about maybe taking some anxiety medication? To which he will probably say no, right?
Yeah. Well, he's already taking a medication that helps with ADD and anxiety.
Right. So then maybe part of this is a medication management issue, is talking to the doctor and tweaking.
Okay.
Right. So if he's not exercising, he may need a different level of medication than when he was exercising regularly.
Mm-hmm.
We want him to become aware that part of his job in life is going to be to be conscious of the management of his attention and his mood.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and his activity level. And so he's constantly going to be asking himself, if I'm having trouble getting my stuff done, how do I get myself to get it done? That's what he's going to be doing as an adult all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's on meds for both ADD and anxiety, he's probably always going to be managing that in some way or another. So when you take it out of the fix and you put it in get curious, remember step two is to get curious, collect information.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. So let's talk about what do we know that's going on? We know that, without judgment, that right now you haven't been doing the martial arts as much, so you don't have that adrenaline, you don't have that pump going in your brain. You know, you're coming up to exams at school, whatever it is, you can sort of pull the different pieces and then have a conversation about it so collect the information before you try to go to solution.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and listen to him. And I guess the other thing that I think is probably happening is that he gets to listen and sort of start to figure out.
I was going to say, rather than listen to him, I would say for his age, teach him to ask himself these questions.
Okay.
Right? And once they're over about 14, you want to teach them to start looking at self-management from a, like, this is going to be your job as you get older, and I want to help you learn how to do this.
Okay.
And that's the same for you, Liz, with your daughter, to be able to recognize, you know, you got all of these really difficult things going on right now, and the chances are you're probably a little depressed. And that would make sense. So, you know, help her see what's going on for her so that she doesn't feel lazy, crazy, or stupid, but that she's got a name for something that she can then learn how to manage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really helpful.
What you're describing, anybody, even without the kinds of neurological issues we're talking about, would be depressed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
So who else? Cheryl, what about you? How is this conversation helping with looking at Jenna's behavior last night?
Well, I was thinking about, I do try to talk with her about managing her own feelings, or she's so hard to talk to, though.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, Anne, you have to set realistic expectations about what she's able to do. She's not 14 or 15.
Right.
She's 12, right?
Yes.
Right. And developmentally, she's probably more like 8 or 9.
Yes. Well, not not physically, maybe emotionally or
emotionally. Yeah, yeah, I'm not talking about physically. We're never talking about physically. I mean, that's part of the challenge. You know what my daughter said to me yesterday, y'all? She said, you know, the hard thing, Mom, is that I'm 21 going on 16 going on 36.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it's like, and she's so right on target. Because she's dealing with all of this complex health stuff that she's got to deal with. It's like hard middle, you know, stuff to deal with in your 30s. And she's got the organizational capacity of a 15 or 16-year-old. And it's a lot to manage, you know. It's a really tough dichotomy that these kids face, is that they are so immature and so mature at the same time.
Yeah.
Yes, Jenna said she wanted me, or she was thinking I was going to be so proud of her for making this soup and doing a service and being kind to these friends of hers, and yet I was kind of mad at her for going and leaving in the first place.
Right.
And, you know, that's our rule. She's not supposed to do that. So she was really upset and disappointed, because she thought I was going to be so happy, and I wasn't.
Right.
I tried not to poo-poo that too much.
So, but the go-to for you, for her, just, you know, and I will say this to you because I know you well enough, is always to start by acknowledging what she's done first. Because her intention is never, almost never. Now, I mean, you raised some other issues, so she may have been, you know, there may be some manipulation starting there. But usually she's not manipulative. Usually she's just distracted.
Right.
Right. And so to always start by acknowledging the good before you dive into the redirect, it's critical. for these kids, especially for a kid like Jenna, is, mm-hmm. is acknowledgement and compassion, or empathy. You know, that's where this empathy conversation is about. Get curious, what's their perspective, what's going on for them, before you redirect. Which,
yes.
which is you know, another variation of what shifting expectations is about. It's about get curious, what's going on for them, and get real before you redirect.
Yes, I've been trying to talk with her, too, about sort of prioritizing her time, or like she did all of that instead of doing her homework.
Right.
Which...
well, and as she gets a little bit older, she's going to be saving a friend who's in crisis instead of doing her homework. Right? Those of you with older kids, if you had that conversation, but she really needed to talk to me. My friend really needed me.
Right.
Have y'all heard that one?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's always, and so you're, it's a great conversation to be having. You're right on target. And it's not realistic for her to necessarily be thinking in terms of time management that way. That's why you have the expectation, you know, that the homework is done before X, Y, or Z, right?
Right.
So just based on this conversation, what do you feel like you want to go back? How do you want to respond? What's your initial reaction?
Well, I feel like I just need to sort of have a conversation with her again, and that's all I need to do. I don't need to lecture
okay.
or punish or anything like that, because that's how these kids are, right, over and over again. Well, that's how everybody learns, repeating, right?
Right.
So I feel like that's all I need to do then.
Good.
It's not...
And here's the other thing I would offer is you can set a clear, now that this has happened, you can set a consequence for if it happens again.
Oh, right.
Right. So
right.
As you're clearly communicating and setting expectations, now you can say, now I get how it happened, and I'm not going to punish you or anything because I see what happened, but be clear that our rule is this, or either focus on one of them. Our rule is you don't leave the house, or our rule is you get your homework done before you do other things. And if if that doesn't happen, then here's what the consequence will be. Does that feel fair to you? I always love to impose a consequence and then ask for their agreement to it.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Right. That way, you're sort of getting her buy-in to the process of creating a next level of accountability.
Because she said, I did take the phone when I left, which that's kind of part of the rule, too. So she made sure to take the phone.
Yeah, so you really want to acknowledge that. That's great.
Yes.
Right, so glad you remembered to take the phone. That's really, that's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
But the rule is you don't leave the house when we're not here. So if that happens again, and, you know, if it happens, so maybe the agreement is if it happens again, she calls you. Or, you know, you can work through with her what that accountability is going to be or what the process is. You don't need to dictate it. You just want to make sure that it's clearly communicated.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can do that.
So anybody else? I think we've hit on several people. So I feel like we're missing Tatiana.
Hey.
And
so,
Shelly, anything y'all that you've sort of taken from this? I guess what I want to do is ask everybody to do the final questions, and then Tatiana and Shelly, let's check in with you and see where you are, and maybe Cindy. So what did you focus on in that? Just for everybody for just a minute, what did you focus on in this call, and what's your aha? Just take a minute to sort of get clear on your aha.
Well, definitely for me, reminding myself that you know, the mind of a child with ADHD is different, right? Operates differently, thinks differently. And to see it, you know, whether good or bad from their perspective. Like, for instance, with the example that we were discussing about, you know, getting ready, what's realistic, right?
Right. Great. So any commitment that you want to make, anything you want to do differently?
Yeah, definitely shift the expectation as to, you know, really ask myself, okay, what's really important to accomplish here? Like, what's the goal, you know, why, how is this beneficial to him, that kind of thing.
Great. Love it. Who else? Shelley, what about you?
I think for me, the thing that I'm going to take away and work on, like you mentioned right at the beginning, was, you know, taking the time to talk to him and ask him what he feels he's capable of doing. I often, you know, try to put things in place to fix it for him, which kind of goes back to my whole, you know, always wanting to be in control, like, oh, I'll do this and I'll be in control and I'll fix it, which is ultimately not what I want. I want him to be independent,
right.
And that's ultimately my goal. So taking that time to have that conversation with him and help and really understand from his perspective, because I struggle with that, to look at
right.
it from his point of view. And I, even when I think I do, like, I go, well, don't you want me to stop nagging you? If you, you know, if you'll do this, then I'll stop nagging you. That's what you want, right? You want me to stop being such a pest. So I'm trying to imagine it from his view, but I'm not really getting to that point.
Well, as soon as you say don't you want to, you're already planting the answer, right?
Right.
Right.
So I think that's what I'll take away, is having that conversation.
Great. Well, and the other thing that I would offer, I think that's very self-aware that, you know, I tend to fix it for him and I really want to foster his own independence, right, is the sense that, oh, I lost the thought, but it's not about perfection, it's about progress, right?
Yeah.
And, oh, I know the other thing I was going to say is the one caution on this for everyone is don't ask the question, well, how are you going to do that? Because if they knew how, they would tell you. They would do it.
Yeah.
So how is not usually a helpful question for them. You want to stick with helping them understand what's happening. That self-awareness is the first step. So who else, as we're closing up today? Sandy, what about you?
One of the things that I heard you say is the comment about how ADD people get really bored with routines and things that are working, and I think I just need to be more aware of that with this organization, and that he just maybe just needs to switch it up for him because it's not obviously not working for him. So.
Yeah. I think that's the key. Just from the very first thing you said today, your key is to be looking at what's the goal of the organization as opposed to just following the structure of the organization, because it may not be the right
It looks organized to me, but obviously it's not to him, so I need to try to understand.
Or it
may
be too hard for him to do at this stage.
Right, that could be.
Right, like I know for me I have motor coordination issues. It's like, please don't make me put something in a file folder. Like, I hate it. You know, so there, that's where you get the backpack with all the stuff in it, because it's just too hard to find the thing and open it up and open the binder and put it in. It's like, that is just too many steps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, friction.
Right. Anybody else? Any sort of closing ahas or commitments? Okay.
Well, mentioned about, you know, getting bored. I mean, that's something that I tend to forget about because I have things that I love to do and I love to do them forever. You know, so that was really good to have that reminder because I've seen that over and over, but that just really helped.
Great. Yeah, and that's my own personal experience, is that I'll have a system that works great and I'll still have to change it up or I'll go crazy. You know, and so, like, I've got a journal. I've used the same system for 9 years in terms of having a daily journal, not journal, like writing journal, but where I put all my notes so I don't have scraps of paper. I put everything in one place. But how I organize it in that journal changes over the time because I need it to be a little more fluid so it doesn't get too static for me.
Mm-hmm.
that's really good to, you know, because crawling inside my son's brain, if I could do that, you know, it's like it really helps. It's like, oh yeah, okay, I remember that. You know, remember that.
Well, and it's a great question to ask him. Is, you know, take me inside your brain. Help me understand what it's like when you think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for an invitation inside his brain. He'll love it. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. Anybody else? Super. Hi, everyone. Thank you, as always, for your amazing engagement and commitment to each other and to your families. I will not talk to you next week. I hope those of you who are here are celebrating, having a great Thanksgiving. And Liz, I hope you are celebrating vicariously with all of us.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Thank you, and we'll talk to you all in a couple of weeks. Liz, can you hang on 1 second? I have a question I want to ask you, if you've got a moment. Do you have a moment?
Yes.